Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in his house, and happy new year to the church today. Another year upon us. I imagine many of us are familiar with the children's story, the fairy tale, the ugly duckling. You know, it's quite the story. It's quite the tale. A duck and her eggs. And the tale reads, one shell cracked and then another. And from each egg came a living creature that lifted its head and cried, peep, peep. Quack, quack, said the mother. And then they all quacked as well as they could and looked about them on every side at the large green leaves. Their mother allowed them to look as much as they liked because green is good for the eyes. How large the world is, said the young ducks, when they found how much more room they now had than while they were inside the eggshell. Do you imagine this is the whole world? Asked the mother. Wait till you've seen the garden. It stretches far beyond that to the parson's field, but I have never ventured to such a distance. Are you all out? She continued, rising. No, I declare, the largest egg lies there still. I wonder how long this is to last. I am quite tired of it. And she seated herself again on the nest. One egg is not hatched yet, so the tale goes. An old duck paid the mother duck a visit. Let me see the egg that will not break, said the duck. I have no doubt it is a turkey's egg. I was persuaded to hatch some once, and after all my care and trouble with the young ones, they were afraid of the water. I quacked and clucked, but all to no purpose. I could not get them to venture in. Let me look at that egg. Yes, that is a turkey's egg. Take my advice, leave it where it is, and teach the other children to swim. I think I will sit on it for a little while longer, said the duck, as I have sat so long already. A few days will be nothing. Please yourself, said the old duck, and she went away. You know, I do hope that the children of this hour have heard the tale and have read the tale, because there is much to learn from the story. And yet, what place would this tale have here? In church, in a church service, in a message. Form, comeliness, and beauty. Stately form, splendor, and appearance. One so different in this tale, one unmistakably different, a bird, but not like the others, among them, yet unlike them, all a beak, all feathers, all wings, all webbing, and yet one so peculiar. At last the large egg broke, and a young one crept forth, crying, peep, peep. It was very large and ugly. The duck stared at it and exclaimed, it is very large and not at all like the others. I wonder if it really is a turkey. We shall soon find out, however. When we go to the water, it must go in if I have to push it myself. Well, someone in the house is saying, doesn't this belong in school? Doesn't this belong in Sunday school? Welcome. Class is in session. On the next day, the weather was delightful, and the sun shone brightly on the green burdock leaves. So the mother duck took her young brood down to the water and jumped in with a splash. Quack, quack, cried she. And one after another, the little ducklings jumped in. The water closed over their heads, but they came up again in an instant. and swam about quite prettily, with their legs paddling under them as easily as possible. And the ugly duckling was also in the water swimming with them. "Oh," said the mother, "that is not a turkey. How well he uses his legs and how upright he holds himself. He is my own child, and he is not so very ugly after all if you look at him properly." "Quack, quack. Come with me now, and I will take you to the Grand Society and introduce you to the farmyard. But you must keep close to me or you may be trodden upon, and above all, beware of the cat." Isaiah 53:1-3. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form, stately form or comeliness that is splendor. And when we see him, there is no beauty, appearance that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected," literally forsaken by men, "a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him." He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Stately form, splendor, appearance, despised, rejected, forsaken, hidden faces. Look at how well he uses his legs and how upright he holds himself. You know, I guess it's true. I guess it's true that he is not so very ugly after all if you look at him properly. Look, here comes another brood, as if there were not enough of us already. And what a queer-looking object one of them is. We don't want him here. And then one flew out and bit him in the neck. "Let him alone," said the mother. "He is not doing any harm." "Yes, but he is so big and ugly," said the spiteful duck, "and therefore he must be turned out." "The others are very pretty children," said the old duck with the rag on her leg, "all but that one. I wish his mother could improve him a little." "That is impossible, Your Grace," replied the mother. "He is not pretty, but I think he has a very good disposition and swims as well or even better than the others. I think he will grow up pretty and perhaps be smaller. He has remained too long in the egg, and therefore his figure is not properly formed." And then she stroked his neck and smoothed the feathers, saying, "It is a drake, and therefore not of so much consequence. I think he will grow up strong and able to take care of himself." You know, this might just be a message you never forget. Despised, and we did not esteem him. Can you imagine? We don't want him here. Can you imagine? He must be turned out. Can you imagine? That one. I wish he could improve himself a little. Improve? Impossible. Oh, he will grow up strong and able to take care of himself. Luke 2:40. "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Luke 2:52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Luke 2:40. "The Wycliffe Bible, and the child waxed and was comforted, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him." And Luke 2:52, "And Jesus profited in wisdom, age, and grace with God and men." You know why? Why the discomfort when one is like and yet so different? Philippians 2, 6 to 8, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself of his privileges, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. One unmistakably different. A person, but not like the others. Among them, yet unlike them. Mouth, skin, limbs, the human webbing, and yet one so peculiar. No, not everything in the fairy tale in this tale finds place here, but there is much that does. Not everything finds place here. There is much that does not. And yet how many bit at him? How many pushed and made fun of him? How many spoke against him, ridiculed him, scoffed at him? How many puffed themselves out like a vessel in full sail and flew at him, red in the head with evil passion? And that cat, that devil. The tale continues: in the morning, when the wild ducks rose in the air, they stared at their new comrade. "What sort of duck are you?" they all said, coming around him. He bowed to them and was as polite as he could be, but he did not reply to their question. "You're exceedingly ugly," said the wild ducks. Ah, he grew. And here we race to verse 7 of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." There comes a point in the tale. "You don't understand me," said the duckling. "We don't understand you. Who can understand you, I wonder? Do you consider yourself more clever than the cat or the old woman? And I will say nothing of myself. Don't imagine such nonsense, child." Many didn't understand. Many didn't understand him. They didn't get it. They didn't get him. They missed it. They couldn't get past the form. They couldn't get past the humanness, familiarity, the way he did things. The story, the tale wasn't playing out like they thought it would. "Give us a political messiah. Give us a king on a war horse." The time he was in his own hometown, Jesus, his own hometown, Matthew 13, we pick it up at verse 53. "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?'" So they were offended. They were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Astonished at him. Offended at him. Without honor, their unbelief, rejection, rejected. I hear you. There's a line in the fairy tale. I believe I must go out into the world again, said the duckling. Mark 6:6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Jesus is in his hometown. He shows up on the Sabbath. He's just marveling at their unbelief. Astonished, offended, without honor, rejected. All the tale of the Christ. Autumn came and the leaves in the forest turned to orange and gold. Then as winter approached, the wind caught them as they fell and whirled them in the cold air. The clouds, heavy with hail and snowflakes, hung low in the sky. One evening, just as the sun set, amid radiant clouds, there came a large flock of beautiful birds out of the bushes. The duckling had never seen any like them before. They were swans. And they curved their graceful necks while their soft plumage shone with dazzling whiteness. They uttered a singular cry as they spread their glorious wings and flew away from those cold regions to warmer countries across the sea. As they mounted higher and higher in the air, the ugly little duckling felt quite a strange sensation as he watched them. He whirled himself in the water like a wheel, stretched out his neck towards them, and uttered a cry so strange that it frightened himself. Could he ever forget those beautiful, happy birds? And when at last they were out of his sight, he dived under the water and rose again, almost beside himself with excitement. He knew not the names of these birds nor where they had flown, but he felt towards them as he had never felt for any other bird in the world. He was not envious of these beautiful creatures, but wished to be as lovely as they. Differences appear, no doubt. This bird didn't know who he was. He didn't know what he was. But for the Christ, he knew. And there would be no wishing to be lovely. A hard winter, all that was endured. And then it happened. The warm sun began to shine and the lark began to sing, and all around was beautiful spring. What difference is these tales? And one a tale, and one a true life tale. A real story, true history. Well, the tale reads, I will fly to those royal birds, he exclaimed, and they will kill me. because I am so ugly and dare to approach them. But it does not matter. Better be killed by them than pecked by the ducks, beaten by the hens, pushed about by the maiden who feeds the poultry, or starved with hunger in the winter. Then he flew to the water and swam towards the beautiful swans. The moment they espied the stranger, they rushed to meet him with outstretched wings. "Kill me," said the poor bird. And he bent his head down to the surface of the water and awaited death. But what did he see in the clear stream below? His own image. The true life story, Matthew 1:21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," that is Savior, "for he will save his people from their sins." Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Luke 22:42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Isaiah 53:10-11, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise," literally crush, "him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. From the labor of his soul he shall see light." Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards you," towards us, "in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In John 3:16, we know it well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The clear stream. There, his own image. Pondering this. Please ponder this. His own image, no longer dark, no longer a dark gray bird, ugly and disagreeable to look at, but a graceful and beautiful swan. To be born in a duck's nest in a farmyard is of no consequence to a bird if it is hatched from a swan's egg. He now felt glad at having suffered sorrow and trouble because it enabled him to enjoy so much better all the pleasure and happiness around him. For the great swan swam round the newcomer and stroked his neck with their beaks as a welcome. Jesus is so beautiful. Always was. Always will be. Agreeable to look at. Graceful. Grace-filled. Perfect. Born in a human nest. In a farmyard. This swan. And what of sorrow and trouble? Isaiah 53:4-6, "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded, pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised," that is crushed, "for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes," receive it even now, "we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine? Simply incredible. Laid on him the iniquity of all. How hard it is for a man to bear his own iniquity. But the sinless one, the perfect one, the spotless one, he bore all iniquity. Even though he had done no wrong. Verses 7 to 9, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shears, as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Where would we be without Jesus? Who would we be without Jesus? Thank you, Father. And thank you, Jesus, for everything. Your form and comeliness, we see you, and there is such beauty in you, Jesus, that we desire you. As for us, you are loved and accepted. May we never bring you sorrow or grief, Jesus. We won't hide our faces from you. You are treasured and highly esteemed. Isaiah 53, 10 to 12, it pleased the Lord to bruise, crush him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil, the plunder, with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. The swan. Well, let's finish it off. Into the garden presently came some little children and threw bread and cake into the water. See, cried the youngest, there is a new one. And the rest were delighted and ran to their father and mother, dancing and clapping their hands and shouting joyously. There is another swan come. A new one has arrived. Then they threw more bread and cake into the water and said, the new one is the most beautiful of all. He is so young and pretty. And the old swans bowed their heads before him. Then he felt quite ashamed and hid his head under his wing, for he did not know what to do. He was so happy, and yet not at all proud. He had been persecuted and despised for his ugliness. And now he heard them say he was the most beautiful of all the birds. Even the elder tree bent down its boughs into the water before him, and the sun shone warm and bright. Then he rustled his feathers, curved his slender neck, and cried joyfully from the depths of his heart. I never dreamed of such happiness as this while I was an ugly duckling. He is the most beautiful of all. Jesus. The most beautiful of all, and yet humble, persecuted, crucified for our ugliness. And there is joy and rejoicing And there is joy and rejoicing still as more and more are added to the flock, added to the bevy. Philippians 2, 8 to 11, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Reading from the Message paraphrase, think of yourselves. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. New Year's resolution. A solution. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. You know, I wonder if we looked into the clear stream, would we see his image? Would we see the image of the swan? Would we see the image of Jesus? Here we are, found in the appearance as a man, as a woman, humankind, humanity, humble, humbling self like our Jesus, becoming obedient. Becoming. Obedience is becoming. Living a selfless, obedient life, there to die in like manner. You see, it's still true. God lifts high the humble, the obedient. God honors them. Yes, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But it's my joy to do it now, Lord Jesus. Every eye will see you in your glory, but I get to seek you now, Lord Jesus. Just so the record's clear, every one of us shall give account of self to God. Bow, confess. This is the hour. Swan song. It's a real thing. Luke 23, we're going to take in this scripture, beginning of verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, Skull Hill, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, gambling. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ," literally, "are you not the Christ? If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." New Year's resolution. "Into your hands I commit my everything. I want to be like Jesus." John 19, 28 to 30, after this, Jesus, knowing, seeing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Swan song. A song of great sweetness, said to be sung by a dying swan. A person's last piece of work, achievement, or performance. A farewell appearance or final act or pronouncement. Nice song. Nice swan song. Nice song. Sung by this dying swan. Nice last piece of work. Nice last achievement and performance, Jesus. Farewell. Final act. Final pronouncement. Well, I got good news. This swan song was far from over. And this swan will sing no final song, no beginning, no end. They took down the swan, and he was buried in a tomb, a great stone pressed against the mouth. But death could not hold him. And on the third day, Jesus Christ rose up from that grave. And he was seen by many eyewitnesses. And the time came for the flight, the ascension of the most beautiful one. He ascended to glory. But that's not the end of the song. The swan is coming. The sun is coming. The King is coming. Jesus is coming. Revelation 1, 12 to 18, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys. I hold the keys of death and Hades." People, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And this song goes on and on, my friends. And until the glorious day, the song goes on. The sweetness, the work, the achievement, the performance, the appearance, the pronouncement, salvations and healings and miracles and signs and wonders and deliverances and blessings poured out. This is our Jesus. He grew up among us. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire him. Thought he was the ugly duckling, but he was the swan. And he is the swan. And always will be the swan. You know, when you are an unglued duck, you may become a swan. They thought he was the ugly duckling, but he was God and man. Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh among us. How can one call him ugly when he has no spot and he's perfectly white and he's never done anything wrong or amiss? But I guess that's what man does call ugly until they realize that they're the ugly duckling. And their only hope is salvation, restoration, transformation, and changing is Jesus Christ. Let's have the worship team return. Will we behold him? His form, his comeliness, his beauty. Will we look at him properly and to him properly? You know, he so loves us. We know it well in this house, 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Isn't it fitting, isn't it only rational that we lay down our lives for him? Our first love. There is a door standing open today. Jesus is the door, the beautiful one. Revelation 4, 8 to 11, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, it is here, holy nine times, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." He was found worthy, and he is found worthy. We're not finished with the text today. Revelation 5, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl. Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Pray. 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 Fill up the bowls. I wonder, didn't Jesus say, I think he said, "My house shall first be called a house of prayer." Maybe he knew about the bowls up there in heaven. He's saying, pray. Do your part. Fill the bowls. New Year's resolution. Christ City Prayer Tuesday night, pre-service prayer Sunday, morning and night. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." We shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them," I heard saying, I want to hear every voice saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Lift up your eyes and look. See Jesus. Behold him. Behold the Lamb of God. You know, in this life, the more we look like the swan, the better. The more we look like Jesus, the better. Now, not all will like the new look. Not all will appreciate the transformation. Some will treat us like they treated him, although our treatment will never compare. Heaven forbid we ever want to, choose to, decide to leave off being a swan to appease a world full of ducks. Duck, duck, goose. But oh, for a swan. I hear you, sweet Jesus. Revelation 22. The end of the book, people. Revelation 22, 12 to 21, "And behold, I am coming quickly." You're saying, "I'm not quite sure about that." It's been a while, Jesus. You never know. You never know. "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone." Not everyone. Everyone, according to his work. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Blessed are those who do his commandments, literally wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, he's speaking. The word is alive, living and active. I, Jesus, I think we should listen. I think we should take note. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all the saints. Amen. Well, that's the close of the holy book. I wonder, is there a child here today? A child in the garden that would run to the water? Jesus is the most beautiful of all. And might a child lead many this day? He was persecuted and despised for our ugliness. And now, might he hear us? Might he hear you say that he is the most beautiful of all? Another and another. And another, and another. A year of gathering, a year of another. Rustling their feathers, curving their slender necks, and crying joyfully from the depths of their hearts. I never dreamed of such happiness as this. Well, I was an ugly duckling. Well, we love you, Jesus. People of God, what better hope for this year and all years? What better decision for this year and all years? What better manner for this year and all years? More gathered in Jesus, more made swans. And may all those he's made swans know who they are because of who he is. And may we forever be like him. Perhaps you came into the house today and you think everything's okay. You're like, I'm just fine. Would you look into the clear stream today? What image do you see? Do you see Jesus? More and more like Jesus. Looking more and more like Jesus. That should be the resolution every year. Glory to glory, strength to strength. Look into the clear stream today. No muddied waters or muddled waters. This year, more like Jesus, more of Jesus. More Jesus in our world. A mighty fix. 2026. A holy fix. A fixation. A desperation. Devotion. Zeal and passion. A fervor. Faith on fire. You say, what are you talking about? Faith on fire. Where we carry the very presence of Jesus. Wherever we go, we carry that fire, we carry that faith, faith on fire, that it changes the atmosphere, that it warms the place that it brightens the place, that it lights up the place. Faith on fire. Worship on fire. Oh, I'm praying for the day. Sometimes it's a plow, you know. But hey, it says in the Word, Judah plows. So sometimes we just got to go for it. And y'all catch up. But I'm so thankful for those that come in and they're ready. They're primed. They're ready to worship. They don't take one song, two songs, five songs to get into it. And then, you know, it's all over and the preacher's up. They're ready. Because he's worthy. First and foremost, he's worthy. We come into the house of the Lord. Why do we gather? We gather. He's so awesome. We just want to love on Jesus. I don't know about you. That's the reason I came to church today. Everything else is secondary. I just came to honor him, to love on him. And you know, I saw it. If today was the day, or any Sunday, you know, when church is on, because I call myself a Christian, if any Sunday when church is on and I don't have a good excuse for missing, can you imagine if he came back during the church service and I wasn't in church? Oh, you're too rigid. So be it. I'll stay rigid my whole life. Rigid for Jesus. Man, let's stand in the house today. If you need prayer for anything, please make your way to the front. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the way to start a new year that will change the course of your history as you surrender and lay down your life, as you commit your life into his hands. You say, Jesus, I need you. I look into the clear stream today. I don't like what I see, Jesus. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner in need of grace. I see the ugliness because of sin, Lord. Fallenness. I need you, Jesus. I see the image and I want your image, Jesus. Come and wash me. Make me like you. Wash me white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as...